Welcome to the youth service. It's really great to have you here. As you might have heard, we are interviewing Nathan for this youth service. We're really excited because obviously he's just been ordinated and has just become our minister. And so we wanted to find out a little bit more about him. I was thinking sort of this is your lifestyle, but we've already had all of the named greats in his life last weekend. We're just going to ask him a few questions about how he's experienced the Baptist Church, as well as a bit more about his life. Let's pray to start. Father God, we thank you for bringing us here. We thank you for allowing us this opportunity to be in your presence and to learn more about each other. Lord, not only do you want us to have relationship with you, but relationship with each other. And so we just take this opportunity to learn more about Nathan, to be in closer relationship with him, and to be able to support him better, but also to know more about him. Lord, we love you and we bring you into this service, into every word that we say, and we pray that even though it's not a traditional service, that we still get something from you out of it. Amen. We're going to start with three songs. Some of them are ones that when Nathan was youth pastor, these are the sort of songs that we did when that we sort of played while he was our youth pastor. So we thought we'd give it a bit of a go. But he also said that he wanted some newer songs. He wanted to see what the kids are playing nowadays. So we've put a few of those in there as well. Please stand. Thank you. Please be seated. I'm going to ask the worship band to sit down and for Nathan to come and join me at the... What should we call these? Wonderful blue seats. Am I not on? Awesome. Is that okay? Can you guys hear me? Yeah, awesome. So all of these questions were actually picked by the youth and the young people. And they're really good. They're really good questions. I think we should ask the young people things more often. But yes, don't look so nervous. You're fine. To start us off, Nathan, could you tell us a little bit about your early life and where you grew up, how you grew up, what sort of things you...
Well, first of all, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Danny and the youth team, for inviting me to be interviewed today. It's a pleasure, and I was told by Anna that I couldn't wear what I wore this morning to youth night, so I hope I look appropriate.
No, yeah, this is great. This is perfect.
But yeah, I grew up, as many of you know, some of you don't know, I grew up in Southeast London, which I love dearly, Catford. It was a town and really good memories growing up in Catford. I guess things was a little bit different to how things are now. My childhood memories were playing out till late at night, playing football, literally on my road, on Ardfallon Road, childhood friends, Richard, James, Darren, Salahi, Essat, and we would play football literally after school, straight out playing football until the parents give us the call to come in. So happy memories, just playing around and having fun and enjoying our young lives.
Nice. That's really different. And a couple of the questions do revolve around school. So what was your favorite subject at school?
Favorite subject in school was PE.
PE. Understandable.
Music as well. In secondary school, I loved music. PE, music. I also loved history as well. I'm quite into history, so that was interesting to me, but nothing could do it like PE.
What was your most embarrassing moment as a teenager?
I think being rejected by a girl that I wanted to go out with as a youngster. So I think that was embarrassing, I guess, because a lot of people found out about that, so I guess that would be one.
No. And we recently heard that you were shy from your youth minister, which I think a lot of us found hard to believe. But did you ever struggle to make friends? Was that ever a problem for you?
I never struggled to make friends, thankfully, but I wasn't shy in a sense that I was, debilitated by shyness, but I was quite, and still am, an introvert, believe it or not. So, I like time by myself, and I don't need to be around a lot of people, and I've always been that way. So as a kid growing up, being up on the front and being on a stage would be the last thing that I would have imagined for my life. So as you heard from, Owen, who came last week, and he shared that when he asked me to give a short exhortation in the service, I didn't think I could do it because I didn't know how I'd be able to stand in front of so many people, because I'm just happy behind the scenes. I was happy at the time playing music, and that was my thing. Didn't have to do any public speaking. I didn't feel adequate to do that. I didn't think I had the skill set to be able to do that, so I think that was my challenge.
Interesting. And it's interesting how God has brought you to the center of the stage and leading. What was your experience of youth or Sunday school when you were younger?
Yeah, so it was a major part of my life. My mum and dad, obviously, they brought me to church as a kid, and they instilled those values of going to church every Sunday. But the challenges you heard again from the ordination service was I had a passion for football, and I loved football, and there was, you know, probably around age 8, a real dilemma for my parents. And it was really a challenge because coaches would come to the house and knock on the door and want to speak to my mum and say, you know, your son's got promise here, you know, we think that he could make it as a footballer, but, you know, you're not letting him come and play Sunday league football. That's where he's going to get spotted. But my mum was adamant, no, Nathan needs to be in church on Sunday. He needs to go to Sunday school. He needs to go to Sunday school. Yeah. And of course, there's some parents here, you know, Sunday, notoriously, the times for football always like 10:30, times when church is on. So it was always at odds with church services. So that was a major challenge for my mum. My dad was a little bit more understanding and was trying to help and to speak with her, but my mum was very insistent. But she didn't actually start letting me play football on a Sunday until secondary school. So year 7, so I would have been about age 11 at the time. And she said, okay, but the terms and the conditions were, she would let me go Sunday morning to play football, but Sunday evening I had to be at church every evening service, every single evening. So it doesn't matter if it's a youth, you have to be there. So that was my youth, my teenage years was evening services.
How do you think that was like that worked in your favour in the long term?
Yeah, well, in the long term, yes, absolutely. But at the time, I didn't see it because, you know, in my mind, you know, I always had faith in God growing up, and I believed God. I never doubted. But for me, my life, I felt that when I would become an adult, that I would just be, you know, a casual Christian. You know, respect God, go to church when I can, but I'll be doing football. You know, so that was my plan, and it's amazing how that obviously drastically changed. But that was my sort of plan as a youngster. Just, you know, please mum, go Sunday evening, keep her happy, and then go football and do my thing. And then when I get to the adult years now where I can make my own decisions, then I can, park that evening to the side.
So at what age, really ties in really well to what you've just said. At what age did you start taking your faith more seriously? Was there like an event or anything connected to that?
Yeah, age 16, I was leaving school, secondary school, Cranwood School in Eltham in London, and that was a real pivotal moment for me because leaving school, so that's obviously a big occasion, but there was also, I remember in the summer of that year, there was a special youth conference at the church at Calvary Temple in London, and the guest speaker was a preacher from Jamaica, Reverend Sammy Stewart, and he preached an amazing message that touched my heart back then as a 16-year-old, and he was preaching about Jonah, about running away. And it touched me in a way that previous sermons had never touched me before. And I'd heard many sermons as a youngster, but none of the sermons touched me like that one. And it made me want to respond. It made me want to do something. It made me start to think about life differently. It made me start to pray more and to seek God. And for the very first time I recall in my life as a 16-year-old, I was now praying prayers where it wasn't, God, help me to be a footballer, help me to be a footballer, help me to be a footballer, help me to be a footballer. But now I start to pray prayers, Lord, what is it that you want me to do with my life? And that was for the first time I recall at 16.
I guess off the back of that, was there a change in your mindset and what you were planning to do after that point? Or were you still aiming to be a footballer, or was it more open, I guess?
Yeah, well, I had just been released from an academy at that age, and I'd signed terms with a semi-professional club. So my kind of future was kind of sorted. I would be able to play semi-professional football. I would be able to earn a decent living. And I also could continue my studies because I wanted to study sports science because I did really well in PE and also did really well in music. So I wanted to do PE, and I went to college and was on a sports science course. So I was sort of heading in direction where I had some options. Play my football, make some money, could be a PE teacher, could be a sports scientist or whatever. So doors were beginning to open up for me. I was thinking I'll be going down those routes. But as I mentioned before, as I was beginning to pray, and also must say, the support of others, you know, leaders in the church, people who knew me, as they were praying for me and they had guidance in my life, and they would start to speak things into my life, things that I didn't see at the time. And as I was beginning to open up more to God, God began to map out and help me to see other areas that, you know, he wants me to go down. And then at the age of 17, for the first time, I was given an opportunity. Pastor said, you know, I feel that, you know, you did a speech last year as a 16-year-old, and I want to give you an opportunity now to give a full sermon in a Sunday service. And I was like, wow, you know, 17 to give a full sermon. And that was the first time I preached, at 17. Yes. And from that day since, I think that's when I began to realize that, okay, yeah, I think God is saying, you know, this football thing is not going to be for me. Mm. And even the sports science stuff, maybe is not going to be for me either. Mm. Yeah, so that was the start.
Awesome. Going back a little bit to your football, did anyone ever put you down when you told them your dreams?
To be a footballer, no. There was always people that would support me. And I think being around a lot of youngsters and young boys who had the same ambition, so there was always that kind of shared passion. But I have to say, when I began to reveal, or open my heart rather, to the things of God, that's when I had people maybe to discourage me.
Yeah.
You know, and people say, you know, you sure you want to be doing that? You know, ministry, really? That you don't want that for your life. You know, you're on the right path. Stay in the football field. You know, sports science, that sounds more of a, you know, a solid path for you to take. Church, what do you want to do in church? So I had to deal with that as a youngster. People, and even people close to me, my own family, say, you know, is Nathan going to amount to anything? You know, he wants to, feels called, but what does it mean to be called? You know, so I had to, as a youngster, that was a challenge, because, you know, to hear that from some people that were close and nearest and dearest, you know, to have to still say, okay, I'm taking that, and it hurts, but at the same time, I know what God is saying, and I have to trust what God is saying.
So we know your favourite football team, but who's your favourite player and why?
Growing up, my favourite player was Steven Gerrard. Steven Gerrard was my favourite player, I'd say, of all time. Loved him. Yeah, great player. He was the captain of Liverpool and also became the captain of England towards the end of his career. But he was sort of the real inspirational leader in a team at the time that wasn't really that good. Liverpool side at that time, when he was in his heyday, you know, we were really struggling. And he stayed loyal to us as a local lad. He grew up in Liverpool, could have left and went to a bigger club at the time, but he stayed at Liverpool, and I really respected that, and yeah, loved him.
And I guess on the reverse side of that, the other side of your life is, who's your favourite Bible character, or what Bible character do you relate to and why?
Just one?
You can, if you have a list, that's fine.
I'd say, as a youngster growing up, I think David has always been my favourite Bible character. I would say the Apostle Paul has become, over the past 6 years or so, one of my favourites. But I would go with David as number one, because of just, you know, his call. You know, again, he had to struggle with the fact that he was overlooked by his own father when he was called by God. No one in his family expected that he would be the one to be the next king of Israel. And I just love the story of how, and again, it testifies to the fact that whoever you are, wherever you're from, you know, even if you're like David, who was just tending to his father's sheep, but God can still call you, and he can map out a great plan for your life. And that's really my heartbeat as a minister, my heartbeat as a servant in the church, is to encourage people that whoever you are, whatever your background is, regardless of where you are right now in your life, there is hope. There is hope in the Word of God and in the Gospel. And that hope can pick you up and it can turn your life around. And David is testament to that, that he took a young little fella called David, who was tending to his father's sheep, and elevated him to become the king.
And yeah, the way that you relate to that, you being so young when you were sort of being pushed in the other direction, it's really brilliant. So my tea is getting cold, and I would like to welcome back the youth, the band. And Nathan, you can feel free to take your seat. We'll sing a few more songs, and then we'll carry on with the interview. Please stand.
Black.
seated. Yeah, sorry. Yes, I'd like to welcome Nathan back up, please.
This is like being interviewed by the deacons all over again. Right.
This is a very relaxed, chilled kind of vibe. So now we'll ask a few questions more about your time here and what you've been doing over the past 6 years. What made you come to the Baptist Church?
Ooh, what made me come here? Well, first of all, as you know, I applied for a position here as your youth worker, so I was attracted to the role that was being offered. I've always shared a passion and a heart for young people. So when I saw someone actually forwarded the application to me and said they felt that would be a good fit for me, so when I saw it, I was overwhelmed and overjoyed. And so I applied for it, prayed much about it, and yeah, that's how we ended up being connected. And I was invited. Yeah, I never forget, the first person I had contact with was Marion Brenchley, who called me, and she said that they would like to invite me for a first sort of interview, just to get to know me a little bit better. And I remember first meeting upstairs in the minister's office, and yeah, I think I can remember everyone who was still there, so yeah.
What was your favourite memory with the youth at Sittingbourne Baptist Church?
There's many memories. I'd have to say seeing young people get up at Soul Survivor, our own young people, and give their lives to Christ by walking down. That's always a very special memory for any youth leader. But there are also many other memories. I remember one where we took some of the young people, the youth band, to go and sing in our care homes, our local residential care homes. And that was such an amazing time that we could give back. And I know, you know, David was there. They were very blessed by us being there. And seeing the young people have the heart to want to do that. You know, it's one thing saying, let's put this on, but you've got to have willing young people to say, okay, we believe in this and we want to support this. And for them to be able to come out and see the need to want to give back, to touch, you know, some of the elderly people in our town, was a special, special memory. And then some of the fun ones as well, the many memories at Soul Survivor and all of the various events that we had here at the church, or going out to outings and all the fun stuff that we did, the football team that was here.
And there was
loads of great memories that I'll always remember.
What made you decide to apply to be and then accept the offer to be Baptist Church Minister? I know there's a bit in the middle there as well, if you want to go through that as well.
So what made me want to apply, did you say? Mm-hmm. Right. First of all, I'd say the first thing is no one can apply to be a minister. Mm-hmm. You have to be called. That's the first thing. This is not something that you can just say, I fancy doing this. You have to be called by God to do it. So I sensed that call many years ago. And through that time, God has been working on me and preparing me. So I knew that this day would come. The day would come where I would become a minister. I've known that for a while. But it was about preparing. I remember a conversation at the ordination service. You would have seen Dwayne, my good friend, and he remembered, and I couldn't even recall it, but he jogged my memory back to a conversation that we had probably about 10 years ago. And he said that I shared with him that I was going to be a pastor. And he said that you said it's not going to be within this Pentecostal organization. And he remembered at the time saying, wow, I can see you always being around here. You know, you grew up here. You know, you're going to be in a Pentecostal church. And I said that to him, and it was a reminder that God was preparing my heart even then. Back then, I didn't even know about Sittingbourne, to be honest. I had no idea Sittingbourne existed until I moved to Kent. But God was readying and preparing my heart even back then for it. So that was the process. God revealing the call to me first. And then once you know and embrace the call and you're convicted of the call, then it leads to applying. And then I was very grateful that when I was the youth pastor, in the interview stage, the deacons were very, very welcoming of me sharing that I had felt God was calling me to ministry. So even back then, they were supporting. They said, okay, yes, we can, you know, we can give you opportunities here to develop and to grow. You know, Chris will give you opportunities. And he was great and fantastic. And part of my responsibilities of leading the youth, but he also let me get involved in other areas of the church where I could grow and mature in the gifts that God had given me. So that was great. And then, of course, the congregation, because you've got to have a congregation to call you as well and to welcome you. And the congregation here were great to see God working in my life. And then they commended me to train for Baptist ministry. Yeah. And that's what I've been doing for the past 3 years.
Yeah. Is there any reason why, it's sort of a hard thing to get your head around, I guess, thinking that God is saying, not this church, but is there any reason why Baptist church or why Baptist ministry you felt was your calling?
They call me what's called a Bapticostal. Yeah, that's what they call Pentecostals at Spurgeon's College, Bapticostals. And I think the reason for that is I'm a firm believer in Baptist theology. So my theology is more leaning to Baptist theology. But I still, you know, as you may tell in terms of my, you know, my gifting and my expression and my passion and stuff, there's still those Pentecostal leanings as well. And so, yeah, I'd say I'm a hybrid.
Hybrid minister.
Between the two.
Lovely. Yeah. No, that's great. Are there any books, writers or other resources that you could recommend for the youth, for the church to look at that really could deepen their faith?
Wow, okay.
Big questions now.
Yeah.
Sorry.
To be honest, some of the books that I've been reading recently, I wouldn't recommend to you. Because, yeah, they're quite deep. One of my favorite books of all time is a book by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German theologian, who wrote a book called The Cost of Discipleship. That is a very powerful book, but maybe a little bit deep for for young people, I would say. But I would always recommend coming to this church. I was able to find out about Soul Survivor, and of course, and Andy and Mike Pilavarci, and they have a number of great resources and books, as you know, that I would highly recommend. And I know that many of our young people, when I was a youth worker, they were, being able to get books and material from Soul Survivor that blessed them. So I would highly recommend Soul Survivor's material. I know that they're no longer doing events as such, festivals, if you want, but they're still doing books and material. So okay. I would certainly point young people in the direction of Soul Survivor.
Thank you. Yeah, it really was, I think, a tangible way for young people to get in touch with the gospel from whatever level they were at.
Yeah.
So I definitely
Absolutely.
Agree with that.
Yeah.
Another big question. What's the biggest lesson your life has taught you?
Oh, biggest lesson. Just trust God. Mm. Trust God. And don't try to do it your own way, would be my one. Mm. I've had to learn that. There were times in my life when I thought I was doing the right thing and made the right decisions. And then God had to show me, no, you just do it my way. And I would always encourage anyone, just trust God. Mm. Trust His way. Even when you can be convinced about something that is the right thing and it's the right decision, just make sure, just check with God. Is this the right decision? Is this the right path for me to take? Because His way is the best way. And even when we don't understand it, and there have been times in my life I look back and I think, wow, at the time, I'm sure this is the right. I thought this was right. It felt right. So why didn't it work out? But God, He knows. And in His perfect timing, He reveals to you exactly what He had planned. And His plan is always best. So I've learned that. Just trust God.
Thank you. And any word of encouragement or advice to the congregation here?
Yes. Well, first of all, since it is Youth Night, and let me encourage the young people who are here. I know some of them back there. Let me encourage the young people, because I know how hard it is. It's really difficult for young people, and it's why it's so important for us as a church that we're praying for them and supporting them, because it's really, really tough. Really, really tough. It was tough for me as a youngster, and I know it's not a million years since then, but things have changed. Things has changed, and you know, our young people are dealing with certain challenges that, you know, even I didn't face when I was growing up. And, you know, my heart goes out to them. But in every generation, regardless of the time and regardless of the obstacles and the challenges, God is still able to keep you. And that's my encouragement. Regardless of what's happening out there, God still desires to have a relationship with you. But the question is, will you desire in your heart to want to receive from God? And you have to make that conscious decision. Do you want to follow God? And you have to be hungry for God. You can't just say, oh yeah, just come to church. Yeah, I'll read the Bible every now and then. But you really have to seek after God with all of your heart, your soul, your strength. You have to give everything to Him. And that's why my favorite Bible verse growing up is Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. My mum would drill that in me. And all these other things shall be added. She would say, son, put God first. And my encouragement to the young people, put God first in your life. Yes, you've got to get your schoolwork done. Yes, you've got to do your studies, and that's important. But make time for God. Make time for God, because there's so much temptation and pressure out there that will pull you in every direction. But you've got to have that assurance to say, I want to seek after God. Regardless of what other people are doing, regardless of what the world may be preaching, but I'm going to make a decision to seek after God. And that's what we do here as a church, as you're part of the youth group. We encourage you to seek after God. We can't hold your hand every day out there. Your parents can't even hold your hand every day out there. But you have to make that decision in your heart to say, I want to be hungry for God. I want to be thirsty for God. And then finally, my encouragement to the congregation would be this. One of the things that I'm very passionate about and motivated about, and something we're going to talk a little bit more about at the members' meeting and next week in Sunday sermon, is I'm really a firm believer and I'm passionate about multi-generational ministry. Multi-generational ministry. And some of you may be aware, in some of the resources that's been published by the Baptist Union, that they're really... they're producing statistics that are quite alarming, in that they are recognizing that the average age of congregations is getting higher and higher. Now, this is not, of course, to disrespect our elderly generation, because we need the elderly generation. We love the elderly generation. We need those who are experienced and have been in the church for a long time. But if we continue to see a massive void and a gap between the millennials and the young people and the younger adults, if we don't see that void, if we continue to see that void in our churches, then in the next 25 to 30 years, if the Lord should delay His return, then the question for us, what is the church going to look like? What is the church going to look like in 30 years? So this is, for me, I think, is a major point in my time here as your minister, that by the help of the Lord, that we have to address as a congregation. Why aren't young adults coming to church? Why? There are many young people. It's not a case that they're not younger adults or young people in the town, because we see them every day, don't we? Walking up and down. But the question is, why is it? What's going on? Why aren't young people and younger adults feeling connected to the church? And it's not a case of just saying, oh, well, they're not interested in faith anymore, not interested in Jesus. That's not true, because all you have to do is go and take a look at some of the churches like Hillsong. I don't know if any of you are familiar with Hillsong. Now, I'm not going to get into it probably about Hillsong, but there are many, many young people that go to Hillsong and young adults that find their home and at Hillsong. So it's not a case that young people and younger adults are not hungry for Jesus and hungry for the Word of God. But what is it that we're not seeing that manifest in our church, in our congregation? And it's not just us. This is not a Sitting Bull Baptist Church thing. This is happening across many churches around the country. Many, many churches around the country. So this is a challenge for us as a congregation. Let's be prayerful of this. But not just pray and not just talk about it, but we've got to take some action. We've got to put some things in place as a church that we can start to address this problem. Why aren't younger people feeling welcome here? Why are young people coming for our Sunday school, growing up, then leaving? And it's not always just the case because they go to university. It's not always the case because some of them come back and they live in the town. So that's something that I want to leave with the congregation for us to be praying about. And I said, over the course of the next few weeks and months, we will be talking a lot more about that and planning more about that.
That's really brilliant. Yeah. Thank you so much, Nathan.
Thank you.
Thank you. Concludes our questioning. Thank you so much for letting us interview you. It's really great, I think, to hear from members of our church who know more than us, but yeah, especially the minister of the church. So thank you.
Let me just say before, sorry I'm butting in, but I'm the minister, so I can now.
You can do that. Go for it.
I want to pray for Danny because I'm really blessed by how God is maturing you. And I've been watching you from afar and seeing you navigate through the past few years. And God's hand is really on your life. And I want us to pray for Danny because Danny's had to step into the gap, you know, in a challenging season for us where we've not had, you know, a full-time youth worker, youth leader here. And she's really stepped into the gap along with her mum and some of the other volunteers in the church. And we're just so grateful for you and for you continuing to plan the youth services in the evening. And we're just so grateful. And yeah, I just want to encourage you that God's hand is on your life. And just like me, you know, you may feel like, you know, I'm not qualified. I don't feel like I can do much. But you just give him your best. Give him your best. And he can use you mightily. For his kingdom. So I want to pray for Danny. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for Danny and for all of the young people in our church. Thank you that you bless us with children and young people and for parents who see this place, this local church, as a safe place and a productive place that they can bring their children here to learn more about you. And we thank you for Danny who has grown up in the Sunday school here and has studied your word and continuing to reach out and to learn more about you. But we also thank you for the great responsibility that she has undertaken, Lord, in stepping into the gap to plan the evening services for the young people and also to serve in other areas with the young adults ministry and the fellowships on Sunday evenings. Thank you for that, Lord. And not many people may perhaps know that she's doing this, but she's doing it, Lord, because she loves you and because she wants to serve you. And Lord, I just pray that you begin to work in her heart, Lord, and begin to reveal what you have in store for her in the future. Would you begin to lead her in the way that she should go? We thank you for the gifts that you have blessed her with. And we pray that you'll continue to open doors and open opportunities where she can serve you and point people in the direction of a loving and saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And then finally, we commit all of the children and young people here tonight to you. We thank you for them, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for their hearts for you, that they want to learn more about you, that they want to be more available to you. And despite the challenges, as we've talked about in this world, the lure and the pull of this world to bring them into all manner of things that are not of you, we thank you that this church and Christians around this town will continue to be a good support and offer godly wisdom to the young people to point them in the right direction. So we pray as a church collectively that we'll continue to make room for our children and young people in our services, that we won't just park them to the side, but we recognize their importance, that they are to be used in the kingdom of God. And we commit them to you now, Lord. We thank you for the great future that you have in store for them. And Lord, we commit finally the future of the children's and youth work to you. Lord, you know the answers. You know, Lord, the perfect will for who should come and to provide leadership in the youth and children's ministry. And we pray now that you prepare that person and continue to prepare all of our hearts to receive what you desire for the children's and youth work here at SBC. So we love you now and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you. Could I welcome the band back up, please? Thank you. So this last song that we're going to sing is another one that we did a lot with Nathan as the youth pastor, and it's one of my absolute favourites, so I'm very excited to be doing it. I think we sang it last week, but we're singing it again. Over the mountains and the seas. And I really like the bridge where it says, "Oh, I feel like dancing. It's foolishness, I know. But when the world has seen the light, they will dance with joy like we're dancing now." Just that conviction that we have, that we know, and that Nathan spoke about, that God can take you through anything, that it's trusting God that is the most important thing. Please stand and we'll sing together.
Me free. I'm coming to give you.
Father God, we thank you so much for bringing us here tonight, for hearing Nathan tell a bit more about his life, a bit more about his experience and what he's brought to us tonight. We pray so much for him that he's blessed in his time here as he works for this church, and that he feels supported and loved and surrounded by all of us here. Lord, as we leave this place, help us to take what he said and put it to heart, really to go into the world and to do more for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you again so much for coming to the youth service. It's all put together by the youth, it's not just me. So there's so many young people working on this, and I'm really grateful for their help. There's teas and coffees in the lounge. Please join us for that. And again, thank you for coming. Yes, if anybody strong would like to help out with that would be great. Thank you.
stuff, unfortunately. Huh? Yeah, the drunk and everything was bad. Because they've got a... Oh, it's alright, it's alright. It was really good. Emily, it was really, really good. It was really good. Yeah, feeling good? Amazing, mate, honestly. Really, really good. It was really good. No, better.